Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open thou my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save us, O God, our strength.
Help us quickly, O Lord, our rock.
The Lord is risen. Of this we sing.
Thank you.
We turn now to that which gives us our comfort, that provides it on this day, on each day. It's that word of our God. So we read a compilation of what can be at times or seem confusing events of that Easter morning. The women coming and going from the tomb, telling the disciples, not telling the disciples. When you look at the whole picture of Scripture, all the different gospel accounts, and we compile them as we do, we get the message of that empty tomb. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then they, the other women, went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. We continue with the first verse of hymn 200. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me, Paul, also, as by one born out of due time. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Here ends our scripture readings. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. My heart with gladness, see what today is done. Now after gloom and sadness comes forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid where our bed must be made, when to the realms of light our spirit wings its flight. The foe in triumph shouted when Christ lay in the tomb. But lo, he now is routed. His boast is turned to gloom. For Christ again is free in glorious victory. He who is strong to save has triumphed o'er the grave. Dear fellow Christians, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I was reminded several weeks ago of the How Much This Much game that I vaguely remember hearing as a child. You may have played it with your children or grandchildren. One of my granddaughters was bemoaning the fact that one of the girls at her school only loves her this much, holding her two little hands about a foot apart, adjusting the distance a bit as she thought about it. But that same friend loves her older sister this much as she stretched her little arms as far apart as she could. Of course, I had to show her that her papa loved both of them even wider. Interesting way to demonstrate how much you love someone when you think about it, isn't it? Think of that next time you see your Savior with his arms extended on the cross of Calvary. That's his way of telling you, I love you this much. This morning we celebrate the result of our Savior's infinite love. The result is the empty tomb of Easter morning and the divine declaration that mankind's sin debt has been paid in full. The text for this most hallowed morning is found recorded in Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 6th chapter. Beginning there in the first verse, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is God's word, the perfect holy words of our Savior God. Acknowledging the power of these words, both to bring the spiritually dead to life and also to sustain each living soul in that saving faith, we trust that our God will provide these same blessings among us also this morning. To this end, we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. You probably noticed that it seems that almost nothing on earth ever seems to be really done, never really finished. I'm sure you see evidence of that fact at home and at work, probably every day. you get out there and you wash your windows, and you can pretty much bank on a dusty wind or a dirty rain by week's end. Rake your lawn, and the leaves seem like they blow right back in. Mow your lawn, and the grass starts growing back almost immediately. Cook a meal, and there are dishes to wash. Finish that, and the process starts all over in a couple of hours. I think that's partly why Easter is just the best, the greatest of all Christian holidays. It is the holiday of completion. Nothing is left. Nothing remains to be done. The battle for the eternal souls of all mankind has been fought. And in Christ, you and I won. There is nothing left to do. Satan and his minions lost forever. Our side shouts for joy on this day because today the outcome is announced by God himself. Our champion, our divine substitute, defeated our soul's great enemy in that most unique way by allowing himself to be killed. Who could have imagined that sort of a plan? Jesus allowed his enemies to capture and kill him, and in so doing, they themselves sealed their own doom and our eternal victory. Fact is, no one really understood God's plan until Jesus had carried it out. Even those who believed in Jesus tried to alter his course, believing that anything was better than death. In death, they saw defeat. Yet in this case, Jesus' death gained for every sinner an eternal victory. What's more, this battle, having been won, will never have to be fought again. The empty tomb of Easter is God's declaration of the final outcome, which is our victory and Satan's defeat. Nothing can ever undo or nullify that perfect result. For all time and eternity, Jesus has removed the penalty of sin by paying it himself in full. God has declared it to be so by raising Jesus from the dead on the third day. You and I, therefore, celebrate on this day not only because our Lord was raised to life, but because what we owed God on account of our sins has thereby been declared to have been paid in full. Through faith in Jesus Christ, salvation is ours. Thanks be to God who has given us this victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this morning, then, we celebrate our victory, which is exactly the beauty and the majesty of Easter Sunday. Jesus did not fail. The tomb was empty. Jesus died on Good Friday, a sinless man. Having offered then the perfect sacrifice for sin, God the Father declared his Son's mission a perfect success by raising him from the dead. His mission complete in every way. That's also why Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our text, said what he did. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. The resurrection is the key, isn't it? It is the heart and soul of the Christian faith. Absolutely everything is predicated on, depends utterly and entirely on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that very event we celebrate this morning. Without it, nothing is the same. Yet by the same token, with it, nothing is the same either. Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord, changes absolutely everything in this life and in the next. Again, that's why our text says what it does. Reading in verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life." What a profound and utterly uplifting truth the Holy Spirit here shares with us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ not only signaled his victory, it assures us of our own. You and I, our text teaches us, you and I were tied to Christ by our baptism. Our text tells us that each of us died there with Christ at our baptism. What that means is that Satan's hold on us was there broken, and we thereby become children of God. Again, from our text, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The result, again, according to our text, was that since we thereby shared in his death, we also now get to share in his resurrection. In verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his," which our text just assured us we were by virtue of our baptism, "we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." That's the personal stake every single Christian has in the event we celebrate on this day. The empty tomb means that death's grip on you also has been broken. Though the earthly body may die as did Christ's, it cannot stay dead any more than Christ's body could remain in the tomb. This is God's gift to you on Easter Sunday. His pronouncement to you that you are an immortal child of God, an heir of eternal life. Now you know that, I know that, but the unbelieving world does not, but they will. John spoke of a hidden relationship with our God, unseen by the world, and how that hidden relationship will one day be revealed to all creation. His words are recorded in 1 John 3, the first two verses. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." Not only then does the resurrection change everything, when Jesus returns, everything will be changed again. That's also part of the promise of Easter Sunday. This same Apostle Paul also wrote in Colossians 3, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." All of this works together as a demonstration not only of why this day is so special, but why Christianity is so different. Our relationship with our Savior, though hidden from the world, brings about a profound change in God's children. It shifts our focus from the seedy, paltry things of this world and elevates our desires, our goals, our vision, our attitude. Paul set the stage for this change when he referred in our text to the resurrection. He then went on to describe the natural result of our death and rebirth in Christ. So you also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, some read those words as though Paul just undid everything he had been saying up until that point, as though he just told us that this isn't really over after all, that there's still more that we have to do. Jesus did his part. Now we have to do ours. He's saying nothing of the sort. Paul isn't trying to guilt us into behavior modification. He isn't trying to shame us into cleaning up our act. He's simply pointing out a fact of life for the child of God. Christ's resurrection from the dead changed everything, including you and me. Our text talks about walking in newness of life. Don't miss here the fact that Paul is not advocating change. He's reminding us of the change that has already taken place in every Christian heart, in you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you already have newness of life. And because you do, your life going forward has been permanently, irrevocably changed. Paul is not therefore telling us to change. He's reminding us of the change that has already taken place in us, itself a gift of God. Each one of you, individually, knows that change. Already within you is that new man, and that new man desires to live your life in harmony with God's word and will. This is undoubtedly a part of what the Holy Spirit was talking about when, already back in the Old Testament, through the prophet Jeremiah, he said, "No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and teach his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So also, no one needs to try to coerce you into avoiding sin. According to that new man within you, you already want that. Just as no one needs to try to compel you to be filled with joy and comfort at the empty tomb. Again, you already have those things. You are in possession of those gifts through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, do we forget from time to time who and what we are? Of course. Which is exactly why God in His Word provides reminders, as He does in our text for this morning. But that's also why we do not celebrate Easter as a one-day event. We live it, day by day and moment by moment. It is a reminder of who and what we are, new creations, servants of God Himself, and heirs of eternal life. At times we lose sight of our high calling and we allow ourselves to be dragged back into sin, to a preoccupation with the silly, the shallow, the pointless, the evil things of this world. We do what we don't want to do and we fail to do what we want. These are the things that cause us anxiety and stress, these passing things. our hidden, privileged walk with God never does that, never has that effect. In fact, our hearts are filled with joy whenever we do, however imperfectly, walk in that newness of life that is now ours. So then this clearly is not just the message of Easter. It is the sum and substance of our entire Christian faith. Our sins had indeed separated us from God. Before Christ, even now without Christ, nothing mattered. And nothing could even now matter, for our view of eternity would hold only terror and foreboding apart from Jesus. The great Christian joy of this day is hearing God's promise that because of what Jesus did for us, we are new creations. And one day soon, we will join Him there in His heaven. And we will exist with Him there in the unimaginable perfection and glory of our new home. How we long for that great day, with now no terror of conscience, no fear of His second coming. In fact, we thrill, therefore, to the promise and assurance that that empty tomb provides for each one of us. Amen. On this Easter Sunday, we pray. Precious Savior Jesus Christ, we thank and praise You that by Your suffering on the cross, You endured the very agony of hell for us, and that by Your death, You have reconciled us to God. On this day especially, we thank and praise You for Your resurrection from the dead, for it provides us with evidence. It proves that You are God's Son and seals Your sacrifice as the full payment for our sins. Dear Jesus, may we never cease to praise You with our hearts, with our mouths, with all that we think, say, and do for what You have already done for us. As You were raised up and glorified in Your body, raise us up by the Spirit from spiritual deadness that we might trust you always with all our hearts and to serve you in godliness all our days. Fill the hearts of each of us with joy as we look with longing to the day of your glorious reappearing, when you will raise all the dead from their graves. Comfort us with the knowledge that on that day our vile bodies shall arise in the likeness of your own glorious resurrection body. And on this day we thank you in particular for the grace that you demonstrated, the love that you gave during his time of grace to Joel Baumgarten, whom you have seen fit in your wisdom to take from this veil of tears yesterday. We thank you not only for all that you did for and gave to him, but all that you gave to each of us through him. We praise your name and thank you for preserving him in that saving faith and delivering him safely to his Savior's arms. So preserve and defend each of us, we pray. We know that though we have been called to be new creations, we still live in a broken world. Many are suffering now, are filled with anxiety and stress. We pray especially for those who are suffering from the virus that has plagued our land, indeed the entire world. We pray especially for two friends of the congregation, Gary and Betty DeGrief, who are suffering terribly from this virus. We pray according to your good pleasure, grant them healing and recovery. In all of these things, reach out to them by your Spirit to comfort them. We pray for all who are suffering, who are sick in any way. You know, Heavenly Father, what each of us needs. Our times are in your hands. And so it is with confidence that we entrust the well-being of ourselves and our loved ones to your loving care, always and only. Your will be done. All of these things, Lord, give us joy on this day. Joy in knowing that you are in control, that nothing happens here or could happen without your permission, and that you who loved us enough to send your Son as our sacrifice will not withhold any good thing from us. Hear us then finally as we pray the very prayer your Son taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And